Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This is certainly a topic we have discussed a number of times, rightfully so. I was drawn to it again. Another excellent story by 60 Minutes last night about what's going on with what, and we talked about this before, the fact that the U.S. Surgeon General calls this an urgent public health crisis. This decline in mental health of kids across the country. According to the CDC, the rates of suicide, self-harm, anxiety and depression are up among adolescents. Yes, it is a trend that began before the pandemic, but it has only continued to go in the wrong direction, a more dangerous direction, since the pandemic started. David Line and an excellent guest, Dr. Sarah Gierstead. She is the medical director of outpatient mental health services at Children's Minnesota. And Dr. Gierstead is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you for coming on. It's such an important topic. Are you seeing any data? Are you seeing anything anecdotally that we're getting better in any way? Because as someone who pays attention to this, with kids in my life, in this job, consuming newspaper, online stories, television, there's a lot out there how it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Is that a fair assessment to you?
Well, I think there's some nuance to this. The data would suggest that rates of mental illness and emotional struggles and suicidal thoughts are increasing in kids and adolescents. But are there things that are getting better? Yes, there are absolutely reasons to be hopeful as well. One of the things I think that's made a difference is now that we've moved through the biggest challenges of the pandemic in terms of lockdown and school from home and being separated, people are getting used to having community again and having support and connection with friends in person. I think that has made a difference. And I think one of the things that's also kind of has two sides of the coin is how people use social media. There are certainly struggles with it, and I'm happy to talk about those. But there are also positives. Kids get support from one another. They use it to connect with each other on things that they relate to make plans. So there are certainly some positive things that we're seeing. But the numbers are real. These struggles are absolutely there for kids.
This is another part which was highlighted last night in 60 Minutes and something else we've talked about before in previous conversations. But this is a reminder from the CDC that since 2019, hospital admissions show the number of teenage girls who have been suicidal has increased 50%. It's also increased for boys, but not as much as this. Social media certainly is a part of it. What other reasons would cite for, sadly, why it's increased so much and why we have somewhat of a disparity between boys and girls in this case?
Yeah, those numbers reflect a lot of what I have seen in my work with patients. And one of the struggles, both boys and girls, kids of all genders, do compare themselves with one another socially. But what we know is that boys tend to use the internet screens a little more for playing games and doing kind of active things. Girls tend to use the internet more for kind of socialization, which results in quite a bit of social comparison. And then there can be kind of bullying and attacks that kids don't quite have the same accountability that they have to take because they're online. And so girls, for that reason, tend to be a bit more susceptible to those things. And they might be a little bit more isolated from support. So those feelings and thoughts get internalized and start to kind of come out as suicidal thoughts.
There is more and more debate, Doctor, about age limits and social media, right? And on this show, mm-hmm. we talk often about social media, the great parts of it, parts of it that are really just a cesspool of hate, and also responsibilities of those within the lives of the kids for they to offer up limits. But if someone went to you and said in the state of Minnesota, where Children's Hospital is located, that Minnesota was debating and potentially voting on a minimum age for allowance to get on social media, are you for that, or is it also a maturity situation where it's hard to say, okay, 14 is the age, because as you know better than I, certain 14-year-olds come with very different experiences, very different challenges, and very different maturity levels from, let's say, 15 other 14-year-olds who might be in the room with them?
Yeah. I think what's hard about making it a law is that laws are things that tend to be policed. And who is looking over what kids are doing in terms of social media is their parents. And what I would really love to see is guidance on supervision, guidance on the kinds of sites that kids are on, and guidance on how to talk to your child about what they're doing and have that kind of connection where the child feels safe coming to the parent and sharing what's going on. That's really the best avenue to safety, is having parents kind of figure that out. And the parent knows their child. There might be kids who have disabilities. There might be kids with mental health struggles or sort of just different levels of ability to process things. The parents are going to really know that the best. And the reality is, social media is here to stay. It is not going anywhere. And so I think instead of trying to kind of put an age limit, instead give guidance. And that's the call to action that the Surgeon General is trying to say, is let's help families put some guardrails into place and help them figure out the best approach to managing this.
I agree with you 100% that adults and guardians are the best options. And I'll remind folks, we're talking with Dr. Sarah Gierstead, Medical Director of Outpatient Mental Health Services at Children's. But counseling also helps, you know, different skill sets, what they see, what has worked, what has not worked. Obviously, adapting this to each person and not saying here's one size fits all, and not trying to stop what parents are doing, but try to add to buttress what they're doing. How are we doing with access for kids and counseling availability?
Yeah, that is a struggle across the country right now, and I think there's a number of reasons for that. Access is hard to get, especially for long-term therapy or someone to kind of establish that outpatient therapist, because therapists only have so much bandwidth, because mental health problems are increasing. And so there's only kind of so many therapists to be able to provide the support that's needed. So where do we kind of find some inroads? We have found them in a couple of places. Schools are an excellent place for kids to have kind of a first line of help. That's where they are most days. And so having a school counselor, social worker, support person there to at least maybe provide a little bit of support, guidance in the school setting. There are some programs that have school-based therapists, so they have clinics that are established in the schools. That's a great inroad. And then the final one that I would mention is, like here at Children's, for example, we do have mental health providers established in our primary care clinics where families and kids can have quicker access to at least brief therapeutic intervention and guidance. So there are other places, but we need to, I just think we need to invest in training and support and access in all of these locations for kids going forward, because mental health concerns are a persistent problem that we're going to have to work with and contend with.
Doctor, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate your time. We'll reach out again.
Absolutely. Take care.
Dr. Sarah Jurstedt, Medical Director of Outpatient Mental Health Services at Children's. I want to get to one other important story before we get to some lighter stuff, because we could absolutely do calls. We've done calls many times on kids and mental health, and it's a lot of the same stuff, Dave, right? It's be involved, pay attention, communicate with other parents, know what's going on in your kid's life, make sure counseling is available. And I'd love to hear another example, but we got one of these breaking stories again about stolen vehicle and what happened today. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it, because this goes back to our conversation, one of a couple conversations we've had with Police Chief O'Hara. And maybe this can be our impetus to try to get him on again, because we've been trying to get Minneapolis Police Chief O'Hara on again. But I'll tell you more about his story, which has been unfolding as the afternoon has moved along, because there's a lot of what we've heard about, and we know some of the numbers can be better in some areas. But you see this story again, and you're left shaking your head. More details when we come back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.